Oh yeah. Feels good.
The Border Patrol is presented by Walker Medical Linen Services, locally owned and operated, and HLAC certified, meeting the highest industry standards. Walker has partnerships with hospitals, surgery centers, and medical clinics in and around the metro area. Walker Medical Linen Services in Kansas City and online at walkermls.com. Partner in crime, call up the homies and hope they might say they're down to paint the town red tonight. Look in the closet and pull out the hype gear, hook up the high top fade and I'm out of here to a disco or a party of some kind. Hope that I would find myself a good time.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's Friday, May 20th, 2022. I'm still fired up about Stan Weber's last 90 minutes in studio. That was terrific. I feel like I should send some type of gift pack, maybe some Shemeika's Italian sausage to Jimbo Fisher for the content he provided on this show today. But later on, we'll talk to Mike McFarland. Plenty to talk with him about the Kansas City Royals. And then Tim Grunhard might call in from St. Louis. He might be here in studio. He might be in Florida. Does anyone know? The answer is no. But I do know where Nate Bucati is. Nate Bucati is live at a wonderful event, the Advent Health Championship. And for more information, you can go to adventhealthchampionship.com out at Blue Hills Country Club. And besides taunting me with a picture of an omelet, Nate has done a very good job out there. It's been wonderful. We believe Nate has been drinking, so we apologize for whatever he says right now. But we just heard from Gary Lezak. It's going to be nice and cool and comfortable, wonderful weather. Throw on your windbreaker and enjoy a great day out on the golf course. Nate Bucati, we have a special guest. Please tell us what's going on, where you're at, and who you've got with you right now.
Steven, you know this man, and we all know and love this man, Rick Amos from the Advent Health Championship. What's your official title now, man?
Well, if you get out here and you start walking around, you see a golf cart floating around. You've got the biggest cart sign on it. It says Assistant Championship Director.
That's hey, right. Boom,
there we go.
Got the assistant.
The assistant to the assistant. There you go.
I landed the assistant for you.
And look, hey, and I'm telling you that Gary Lezak forecast plays into your favor, so it won't be brutally hot. It'll be nice. It'll be comfortable. Have a wonderful day out on the golf course. And so we encourage people to come out there. Let's just start there. If people are listening to this, you know what? It's Friday or the weekend. I want to go out and take part in this. This sounds like too much fun for me to miss out on. Rick, what can they do?
Well, they can go to AdventHealthChampionship.com, or they can just show up out here and get a ticket at the front gate. But I will tell you, you're not going to want to miss today. We are anticipating this to probably be the largest crowd we've ever had for this event. I've been doing this since, 2015 was my first event. And based on the number of tickets we have out, not only in our hospitality area, but just general admission, you know, we've got some local guys in the field that are going to be playing today, Charlie Hillier, Andy Spencer, and we just are expecting just huge crowds based on what the weather should be and what we saw yesterday. So we're real excited for Friday.
So I came out here last year with my dad, my nephews, my son. It's the first time I'd ever been to a pro golf event, and I didn't really understand how good these guys are. And I had just started kind of playing golf last year, so I at least have some sort of sense as to how far I can hit a ball and what club I would need if I'm on a par three or something like that. And to watch how much farther these guys hit the ball and how much more accurately they hit it, even when they're upset with shots, I'm like, that'd be the best shot I've ever hit in my life. It's pretty impressive to watch. And what's cool is I feel like this course is, I don't know how the rest of them are, it's very walkable. So you can go, like we would go from hole to hole and bounce around and watch maybe two or three groups go off and play that hole and see how they all played it, and go to another hole and see how that hole played. I know you can also follow guys around if you want to follow a group, but this course is great for that because you can kind of go wherever you want.
Yep, this, you know, what's amazing is Nate and I sit here, and yeah, I've got to look through some glass, but you can see the number one tee, you can see the practice green, the practice tee, you can see the sixth green, you can see the seventh tee, the ninth green, the tenth 5th tee and the 18th tee. I mean, you can see it all. So the way this course is set up at Blue Hills, just a beautiful venue. Players truly love this test. You know, they play a lot of links-style courses, and you can, players can just go out and bomb it. They really have to think out here. Yeah, they can go out and hit it far, but they got to think about where it's going to land. You know, there's some spots you certainly don't want to land. There's some opportunities to put it. We'd never be too close to it, to the hole, Nate, but these guys do have to lay up a little bit and try not to be too close for their second or third shot. So, you know, the rough is so thick out here, these guys have to put it in the fairway. If they put it in the rough at all, they'll be on the struggle bus.
What's the there's like a sweet area where you can buy like hamburgers and things like that down. What hole is that?
Now we're talking.
Hill?
Now you're talking my language.
Now you're talking. So,
yeah.
So with you know, you guys have a great partnership with Sporting Kansas City, and Sporting Kansas City has a catering arm called City Foods and Events, and they are our official caterer and concession partner this year, and they're just killing
awesome.
It for us. We have taken
Nikki
our
Romolo. She's the boss.
Nikki and Alicia and Emily have just, and the whole team have just knocked it out of the park, and it's a start of a great partnership. I think based on just the first couple days here, we're going to grow this partnership, and so we've got more concessions out here. We've upped our catering game in our hospitality venues. Plus, you know, there are certain people that have tickets here that get food catered by Blue Hills, and Nate, you've already experienced a plate full of food here. I can see today.
Yep.
I see that yours is not cleaned up. Hartzell's is like
he cleaned his plate.
He licked it clean, like it is gone. That plate's in the dishwasher already. So, but you know, tons of great food and beverages out here. You just don't want to miss it.
So the I don't remember which hole it is. It's down there. There was like right at the end of like a par four, and there was also a par three on the opposite side of it.
Yep. So we've got, you know, we've got the cart path lined with stickers to get down there, but that's a concession right off the 16th green.
16th. Okay.
Yep. So right off the 16th green there, and then you continue on down to our club 14, where the par three, where all the action is. It's not quite waste management yet, but we're building around that. We want that type of environment out here.
Steven, you'll appreciate this. So last year, you know, we were out here, and I'm texting with Gurley because, you know, he's like the mayor of Blue Hills. You know, he knows everybody out here, and he's like, oh, come down to 16. That's where everybody's at. And I get it. You know, he's holding court. He's, you know, everybody's around. He's telling stories and stuff. But it was really cool because there's this big grandstand and this big suite area, and the dudes kept hitting balls right into it.
Yeah.
And then they got to make these trick shots because they got like it was like the Happy Gilmore thing where they – and I'm like – I've never tried to hit a golf shot like that in my life. And everybody's just walking around, like, you know, getting to the edge of the grandstand. Like, I got to see this dude hit this shot. I'm going to see how he pulls this off because he's got to get and they do.
Yep.
I mean, they're so good. It's like, how did they ever even practice that shot? It's really cool to get to watch these guys play like that.
Well, and we can sit here and watch them on the practice green. You know, they're on the putting green, but all these guys, they're hitting little chip shots, and you know, the greens out here are impeccable condition. Like the players just love, you know, it's one thing I've learned about working in golf is, you know, you look at the entire course, but the players, they can deal with tee boxes, they can deal with fairways. What's most important is how those greens are going to roll, Logan Spurlock and the staff out here and all the volunteers that have been working the greens all week have just got this course in great condition. You know, we've had the most favorable weather we've probably had in the 3 years we've been at Blue Hills, and so this course is just, it's playing great. And like I said, the rough is ridiculous.
Okay, so for people listening again, the main event is the golf, but if people want to come out there and have some fun and celebrate, it's Friday after all, and have a Freaky Friday. Tell us again the options to go out and enjoy some food and drink, to have some fun, to maybe have a party type or a festive atmosphere. Give us the options so our listeners, if they want to come out there and enjoy a great Friday, it's going to be wonderful weather at Blue Hills Country Club. Give them the options again and tell people what they can do.
You bet. So first of all, you can go to AdventHealthChampionship.com. General admission tickets are $10. You can get two general admission tickets for cheaper, almost cheaper than you can get a beer at the PGA Championship this week. So why drive to Tulsa? Just come out here, hang out with us, have a good day. You can go to AdventHealthChampionship.com and buy them. You can pick them up here at the gate. If you're general public and parking, we have a great partnership with Avila. You just go to Avila, park there, and we'll shuttle you right to the course, and you can come in. You're in here for 100 yards before you can you can be greeted and have a cocktail or a beverage of your choice, and then just walk around and enjoy the day. We also have all-inclusive hospitality tickets online. You can pick those up as well. That'll have your food and drink all day long. So we just would love to have as many people out here. It's a great, you know, and we go until almost dusk tonight, so that it's never too late to get out here.
Okay, so for somebody like me that's trying to get into the sport a little bit and learn, like I said, I saw firsthand how good these guys are. And some of these guys are going to end up on the PGA Tour. Some guys have been on the PGA Tour that are here. What's at stake? How many guys are playing here today, and like, what are we watching for in terms of what's going to be the biggest drama?
So there's 156 guys that are competing. I'm sure you guys saw the drama yesterday with James Nicklaus. We had a withdrawal, and he flew in from New York, and he literally arrived at the course 8 minutes before his tee time. He literally ran to the tee box. They put together a set of clubs. He grabbed a driver in the parking lot from another player, and he played. So, you know, it's stories like that of guys that are they'll do whatever it takes to get a start on this tour. And so we had a withdrawal yesterday, so you've got 155 guys out here competing for it. I think 7 under is the score. I think this morning they went pretty low yesterday morning. Scores were higher yesterday afternoon because of the wind. I think the wind's going to pick up this afternoon. So I think it's going to be real interesting to see how these guys navigate this course with the wind and that type of stuff. But, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if we leave today. We had 3 leaders at 7 under going into today. I wouldn't be surprised if we leave this day, maybe in the 7 to 10 range where these guys are. But we like the closer to par numbers is what we want. We want these guys to have to think and play tough out here.
So, I mean, for the story, like the story you just told, for example, we think about different minor league sports and the mm-hmm. grind that, like, say, a baseball mm-hmm. player goes through riding buses, you know, all over Texas or wherever, making no money to try to get to the big league someday. What is the grind like for these guys? And like I said, it's incredible how good they are. But there's only so many spots on the PGA Tour. What is the grind like for these guys from week to week?
I mean, these guys. So we actually we had quite a few withdrawals coming into this week, and the reason for that is these guys. This is the sixth event in 6 weeks, and they've played all 5 events. And so at some point, you've got to take a look at the schedule and figure out when you're going to take a break. And a few guys chose to not come to Kansas City this week, which, you know, that's great. Well, hopefully we get them here next year. Hopefully we don't get them here next year, because hopefully they get their PGA Tour card and we never see them. But these guys are constantly, they're on the road. You know, it's very comparable to what you said, Nate. They will do anything and everything to get starts. Jamie Lovemark's one of our exemptions this year, and Luke Guthrie is another great guy that are our exemptions this year. And these guys both have PGA Tour experience. Injuries and COVID may have set them back a little bit, but they're back here trying to get back to their PGA Tour card. So I think we've got 19 of the top 25 on the money list or the points list here right now. There's a guy, I think the guy that's sitting number 4 right now, Brandon Matthews. I think he teed off this morning, and he'll be coming around 9:30, 9:45 on number 1 and teeing off, and he just is a great individual. All these guys are great. They'll go to our hospitality suites. Last night I had a partner or an event with Big Brothers Big Sisters Kansas City. Had players come up and just interact and just talk golf and really trying to. These guys are all about helping grow the game of golf, and they also know that they don't have this opportunity to be here if it's not for our great sponsors and partners that you. You'll see signage all over the course for our partners and sponsors. So they'll do about whatever it takes, bud.
Rick, I'm sure the PGA Championship is a hot topic around the course this weekend. Do you have a pick? Rory McIlroy right now, 5 under, is the leader. Who do you think wins?
Oh, boy. I'd love to say Harry Higgs, but I'm not even sure where poor Harry ended up yesterday. I was watching him, and I did catch him one shot, and the explicative that I saw come out of his mouth after that shot was probably not favorable. So I'm sure he did not have a very good day. But I do like Rory.
He hasn't been starting well up until this one, right?
He's off to a good start. We're a huge Will Zalatoris fan. He's just a great kid that got very fortunate, played very well, and didn't have much time on the Korn Ferry Tour, but he is officially an alum of this tour. So I would love to see Will. You know, his first year out, he had 2 top 10s in majors, and he's right there again. So I'll be pulling for Will, that's for sure.
There you go. Will's 4 under right now, just 1 shot back. So that's a good guy to pick. That's a good guy to root for. And so, Rick, tell people again, all of our listeners, if they want to come out and take part in just a great event that's going on right now, the Advent Health Championship at a Blue Hills Country Club. Tell people what they need to do to be a part of the fun.
They can go to AdventHealthChampionship.com and pick up a ticket. They can come to the front gate and pick up a ticket, park at Avila, and come up here, and I'll give you a little Friday afternoon secret. You come late, mid to late afternoon, you might be able to walk right in and buy a beverage or something of your choice without a ticket. So we want crowds out here, and I want to get them out here today. So if you've got to work a half day, come out here after 1 or 2 o'clock, pick up a $10 ticket. You may even show up at a time where you may not even have to pay for a $10 ticket. There you go. There's your inside scoop.
We got the inside scoop from Rick Amos out there.
And you hear it here.
One more just favor for me.
I know where happy hour is, by the way,
you,
today.
Could you cut Nate off, please, at least until 10:01?
Nate is being very honest. He has only got about half of this bloody down.
Are you disappointed that I haven't polished off this omelet and potatoes?
This omelet needs to go back in the microwave, bro. It's done.
It was delicious, but I just...
No. Yeah, well, you wouldn't have that problem with me.
They brought four cocktails for Hartzell and Nate out here, and they've polished about a half of one.
Hartzell drank his entire glass of champagne.
Oh, there we go.
I've only had half of my Bloody Mary.
There you go.
That's enough to make Nate feel bubbly. Trust me.
That's true.
Hey, man, Rick, thanks for giving us all the great information, and hopefully it's going to be a wonderful weekend out there.
Hey, we're going to have a great weekend. Thanks, you guys, for your time. We appreciate all that Sports Radio 810 does for us.
Absolutely. We appreciate you as well, and it just sounds like a great place to be, the Advent Health Championship out of Blue Hills Country Club. Nate's there. Don't let that scare you away. And Rick even told you how you might be able to get in there without a ticket. I don't know. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. See if you can do it. Leave. This is what you do. Your boss will understand. Just leave work early on a Friday afternoon. Get everything done before lunch. Come back. Look around, see everyone sleepy on a Friday afternoon, and just sneak out. And if they ask you where you're going, tell them that the Border Patrol said it was okay, and most bosses will give you the thumbs up based on my previous experience.
So. Or you tell your boss, hey, boss, I got us tickets, and then you just come on out here, you know? And then your boss thinks you're the best. And now you're with your boss, you're still on the clock, you know? Get some brownie points with the boss.
What a gigantic kiss ass we have with Nate Bucati. But
100%.
Well done.
100% kiss ass.
We will take a break. We'll see if Nate's willing to kiss the ass of Mike McFarland to talk baseball up next on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Let's throw it back to Drinky McDrinkerson and see what he has to say. Go ahead, sir.
Well, when our man Rick Amos was on with us, he was not looking at his cell phone, or else he would have seen that his brother-in-law, Rich Eckert, had texted him, "Steak dinner on me if I get a shout-out as the biggest Sports Radio 810 listener in Topeka."
There we go.
So
now
that should count. So, Rich, you owe Rick a steak dinner now. you're contractually obligated.
That's not how it works. He owes me a steak dinner.
And Stephen St. John both.
Top city, Topeka. I've done business in Topeka, and I've always enjoyed it. The home of dangerous Damon Reed, who once knocked me down in the sixth round of sparring.
Ugh.
I took a knee, but it was because I was in a tremendous amount of pain from a shot to the liver. Now let's go to Mike McFarland. Hello there, Mac. How are you?
Okay. I kind of walked into the back end of that conversation.
Right.
No idea what that was about.
Nah.
Did you get one in the nuggets or something that knocked you down or what?
Oh, no, it was a body shot. It was back when I was sparring. I was preparing for the Golden Gloves, and Damon Reed, who was a very, very successful cruiserweight and heavyweight, he was sparring with me because I didn't have a lot of amateurs to spar with, so I sparred with pros. And this was the first time I'd sparred six rounds, and it was partially because I was exhausted. But just to break it down simply, he hit me in the stomach really hard, and I took a knee. So. And then
body
I
shot.
Yeah, and I said, stop that,
Uncle.
Right,
he invested in the body.
You could punch me in the face, and I was okay because I have a size 8 melon for a head. But the body is very, very sensitive.
Tender.
Right, very tender vittles. Mike McFarland is our guest. Mac, so there's you were off last week, so we got like 2 weeks of stuff to talk about, but the most important thing that happened since we last spoke is the Royals moved on from their hitting coach, Terry Bradshaw. So let's start there. And now they've revamped, and they've got several voices in there, including Alex Zumwalt and Mike Tozar. And so what's your reaction to moving on from Terry Bradshaw and now the new approach they have as far as hitting coach at the major league level?
Well, one, a good man lost a job, and any player in that locker room, you know, whether it was a manager fired, a pitching coach fired, you know, being a catcher or a hitting coach fired, you take it personally. At least I did. It was a failure on my part that this guy wasn't able to keep his job. I'm sure a lot of that's going on in there now to change things up. As a player, you take it as, okay, this is starting to get serious. People are losing their jobs, which, you know, can spark a few things. But it also can add to that pressure that some of these young players might thinking, okay, if I don't get going here, they're going to send me back down because they're making changes. On the other side of it, when it comes to hitting, you know, you keep hearing the word approach, approach, approach. Well, you can think approach, but you need to focus on approach. And it's, you know, it's easy to say, oh, you can just touch that ball and hit it the other way against the shift and this and that. It's not that easy. You are who you are as a hitter, and your approach is understanding what you need to do to put yourself in the best position for the barrel to find the ball. You know, you can preach staying up the middle. You can preach staying through the ball. But when things aren't going well, you grasp at straws. You're reaching out for that that life raft to try and pull you in. So you're willing to try anything and everything. And then as a young hitter, could turn into paralysis by analysis. You start overthinking things instead of focusing on the approach. A very good hitting coach once told me that the approach is the glue that holds your mechanics together. And I say that to, you know, the kids I give lessons to and everything else, but it's true. It keeps you where you need to be as long as you're focused on what you need to do rather than what you feel like the opposing pitcher is trying to do. But when a guy's throwing 95 to 100 miles an hour with a filthy breaking ball, you know, you put like 5% doubt in your mind whether you're committed to a fastball or not, and you're screwed because that 95-mile-an-hour fastball is going to be by you. It's got to be a 100% commitment to what you're trying to do when you're in the batter's box. So, you know, adding three or four guys as a hitting coach, as long as, you know, they have the trust of the players, that's good. I was always one of those guys that if I had a hitting coach that was in the major leagues that stepped in the box and kind of knew what you were going through from a mental standpoint in front of, you know, 20,000 people, you could believe that and trust that. And it's not to say anything about the new guys that are there, but just the feeling that, you know, having those veteran players would be the guys you could talk to. But understanding nowadays with the analytics and everything that goes into it, just giving enough for these young hitters to go out there and try and be successful as possible with some of the ideas that these guys are bringing up, because they're not all bad, they're not all good, but everything that I've read about Zumwalt and everyone else is they have the players' trust. And if you have the players' trust and the guy has knowledge and has experience and Tozar or those guys that are here now, things can start picking up on the offensive side and everyone can breathe a sigh of relief.
Okay, so you hit on something there about the young players. And to me, you know, this move was made with you know, a strong lean towards these young hitters that are coming up through the system now, with Bobby Witt Jr. and MJ Melendez, and even, you know, Kyle Isbell, Emmanuel Rivera, and soon, you know, to be on the way, and Vinny Pasquantino and Nick Prado. They do have that trust, and they have had success with a revamped approach led by Alex Zumwalt. And so, you know, nothing against guys like, you know, Whit Merrifield and Andrew Benintendi and, you know, Salvador Perez, who has worked a lot with Mike Tozar. But, you know, those veterans, it's important that they continue to produce and they can make adjustments. But the success, the future success of this baseball team and whether or not they get back to being contenders, that story is going to be told by Bobby Witt Jr. and MJ Melendez and Nick Prado and Pascantino and Isabel Wright. You have to make sure that that message that's been given and that approach stays consistent from the minor league level now to the major league level. That's the biggest reason why this is happening, right?
Well, and you kind of backfill with it. Yeah, so now you have, you know, Bobby Witt in 5 years, an established somewhat veteran with these other hitters, and you backfill with new guys underneath them. You know, they buy into the trust that these young hitters have with Zumwalt and Tozar and those guys. So it works to your advantage. The sooner the better, getting them in there, buying into the system, which it sounds like you said they already have, which is great. That's the first step. And then the younger kids coming up through the system that then look up to the new veterans. And they say, this is what you got to do. This is who you got to work with and listen to what he says. He knows what he's doing. And then it just builds that continuity throughout the clubhouse. Yeah, a lot of successful teams do it. Witt, Salvi, those guys, they know what they have to do. Even though Witt's struggling, he still knows what he needs to do. He's working on it. You can see that he's trying to make some adjustments up there. It looked like he was coming out of it. He's still finding the barrel a little bit, but, you know, even the veterans now and then, a fresh voice coming in to kind of calm the hamster on the wheel up in your head, so to speak, calm that head down, get you to relax a little bit, bloop one in, then you hit a gapper, and then all of a sudden you're on a roll.
Let's go to our hamster on the wheel, Nate Bucati.
What's up, Mac? How are you, man?
Good, buddy.
So there's another way to look at this move that they made with the hitting coach, Mac, and that is, what can it tell us about the new power structure of the organization? And we've been having this conversation. You know, Steven had brought up the question, you know, a couple weeks ago about, okay, you know, now that Dayton Moore is the team president and J.J. Piccolo is the general manager, who has say on things? We had JJ on the show yesterday, and he said basically everything still must be signed off on by Dayton, but he is the guy that's actually with the club every day that's going to make the decisions and the recommendations. And basically he and Dayton both said this was JJ Piccolo's idea. He felt strongly they needed to make a change at the hitting coach position. And then it was told to us yesterday, because we're like, well, okay, why did Dayton come out and talk then? When, you know, when this was, if this was JJ's call, why not just let him do the presser? And what we were told yesterday is that Dayton Moore felt he had a responsibility to get forward and talk because he was the guy that had hired Terry Bradshaw in the first place, and he didn't want to duck the responsibility of saying, yeah, like, you know, we let this guy go. But so everybody's telling us this was JJ Piccolo. He came forward and said, I think we need to make a move here. That's really the first big move then that we will have seen with JJ as the general manager. And I'm just curious what your reaction is to what that can tell us, if anything, about the way the club, does this signify that it will be a little different now with JJ kind of making the day-to-day decisions compared to what it was like with Dayton Moore as the GM?
Well, I think they work hand in hand. I think they talk, obviously, on a consistent basis and throw in ideas at one another. Even when Dayton was a GM and had the, you know, all the power to make all those decisions, he would still get a feel for what JJ had to say. And I guarantee you, JJ's running things by Dayton and seeing what he has to say on it. And Dayton will, you know, probably said like he said that, hey, this is your call, I support you, and I agree with Dayton coming out, you know, and kind of filling and making sure that, you know, they understood this, where he needed to be and in his position and the whole Bradshaw firing situation. So I didn't see anything wrong with it. I wasn't really reading it like it seems everybody else was. It was just an understanding. And in my opinion, if I'm a player in that clubhouse and I see J.J. or Dayton come down, it's like, oh, boy. You know, it both has the same feel to it when J.J. walks in and closes the door to Mike Matheny's office. Then that's when it's like, oh, yeah. Everyone starts whispering, you know, that J.J., someone's about ready to get called into the principal's office. So I have felt and do feel that this is J.J.'s team. He's more than prepared, more than experienced. But I guarantee you everything is still run through Dayton when it comes to suggestions like that. And, you know, Dayton either sign off or he says, look, trust yourself. If this is what you feel, I got your back. And I bet you that's how things are working there.
We have Mike McFarland on the line. Okay, Mac, let's get into what's going on with the team right now. Salvi is on the IL with the sprained thumb. So this gives us an opportunity to take a longer look at MJ Melendez, not just at the plate, but behind the plate. He caught both games in the doubleheader. It's only the third catcher that's done that for the Royals in the last 40 years. He's hit a couple of big home runs. Looks like he's getting more comfortable. We don't ever want to see Salvi get hurt, but this is an opportunity to get more reps for MJ Melendez and see what he's about. Tell me what you've seen so far and how important this is for the Royals to be able to get this long audition for MJ Melendez as a catcher.
Oh, I like it. You know, and again, same with you. Don't want to see Salvi go down because we have to get him going from an offensive standpoint. But just seeing the way he commands himself in the batter's box. Now, you know Bobby Witt in spring training, they were probing the other teams because they knew that Bobby was going to be there. So they were kind of saving their weapons against him in spring training. And, yeah, you have a book on MJ Melendez, and, you know, they're still probably probing and picking around to seeing what he does. But, one, he's athletic as hell. And, two, he's got great eye-hand coordination. And, three, he can run. I mean, that's kind of the other part of it. I was like, okay, that's like way athletic behind the plate. Is he learning how to receive these tougher pitchers on a consistent basis? Yeah, I think he's finding out behind the dish that, you know, he can't take a pitch off because of the movement and velocity that these big league pitchers have. He's still learning how to receive them rather than catch them. You know, so that's going to be the part, you know, I think knowing the nuances of the movement of these quote varsity pitchers, that's going to take some time. You got to realize the stretch that the Royals have gone through here. It's been a nasty schedule. I mean, the five games against one team, you're sick of seeing them. Catching both ends of a doubleheader, the kid needs a rest for one. So whenever that next off day is, I'm sure he's going to enjoy it. But he's young right now and knows that this is his chance, and he's taking full advantage of it. But, yes, the future is very bright with that stick in the lineup.
Nate Buchady.
So one of the things that happened, too, in terms of you're talking about his growth as a receiver, Mac, was we heard from Zach Greinke saying that he was impressed because he felt that that Melendez was calling pitches that were not necessarily in the scouting report. And he thought, man, maybe this kid actually is reading the game and reading the swings of the hitters, and that, you know, maybe that might be unusual for a young catcher that might be more inclined to just do exactly what the scouting report says instead of, you know, feeling enough confidence to do some independent thought out there. And you know, Zach isn't going to just go around handing out faint praise that he doesn't believe. He says what's on his mind. What's your reaction to that, and should that tell us anything about his feel for the game?
Well, I think you also have to look at Zach, you know, being PO'd that, you're going to tell me how to pitch this guy? Stick down what you want, and I'm going to execute the pitch and get this guy out. So there's that side of it from Zach. And it's not that you're sticking any wrong finger down in any situation. I think Zach just likes to pitch in good tempo and rhythm, as we've seen. And, you know, he's going, okay, well, all right, I can see that pitch. All right, let's do it, you know, and nodding his head and going. So going outside the box, of what is perceived as the way you should attack this hitter is not a bad thing, because then you put that seed of doubt. Okay, he hasn't thrown me that 64-mile-an-hour curveball yet. I know he's got it, but then his fastball's got a little bit of cut to it. It puts that doubt in a hitter's mind. So, look, when you got 4 pitches, 5 pitches, 10 pitches, whatever the hell it is Zach has, you're kind of not going wrong, because you got a pitcher out there that knows how to pitch, basically.
We have Mike McFarland on the line. Mac, I want to ask you about a couple of the young pitchers. Number one, Brady Singer goes down, throws his changeup more, comes back up, fires 7 shutout innings. I think threw 16 or 17 change-ups, had success with it. And as Mike Boddicker said, it's not just what you get with a changeup, it's how it sets up other pitches. He's developing a feel for it. Your reaction to what we saw from Brady Singer, and now do you have confidence that we're going to see him continue to develop in the right way as a starting pitcher well enough to where he can nail down one of these spots moving forward?
Oh, I think he will. And, you know, getting sent down was more, oh, yeah, we want you to work on this, but since you've been kind of sitting on your butt up here, we need to lengthen you out a little bit. And, yes, Bob's exactly right. Even though you're not getting out, so to speak, on your changeup, you really are, because then it makes your sinker look that much harder, your breaking ball that much tighter when you throw the two extremes, the hard fastball and the slow changeup. You get those things, and it takes the hitter's legs away from him, and like I said, puts a little seed of doubt in a hitter's mind that, oh, yeah, he's starting to use this more. It just takes their timing away from the harder pitches.
And also the other pitcher going the other way right now, Carlos Hernandez, he had another bad outing. And now that we see, you know, Greinke, Keller, Lynch, Singer, Heasley, like that's the starting five right now that should, moving forward at least for a while. I'll get your thoughts on Heasley here in a minute. But, I mean, Carlos Hernandez, he's killing the bullpen. He's not giving the Royals a chance to win. They can't keep him in the rotation like that, can they? And shouldn't they send him down as opposed to put him in the bullpen? What's gone wrong for him, and how do they fix it?
It's a good question, but when I see his velocity dipping, maybe guiding a little bit, so the jump isn't there on his fastball, breaking ball still looks good. I think he's worked himself into a little bit of frenzy on the mound, knowing that they want strike one, a lot of pressure on him. I've been disappointed, because this was the one guy that I was looking at that saying this guy could take a monster step forward and just become one of those dominant guys in the rotation, you know, based on the things we saw last year and what we saw in just his, what he can do. So, yeah, you know, a little competition will get the blood flow going in some of these kids as well. Heasley, look, I love his slider. I love his grit on the mound. And what's the biggest thing we see out of him? He throws strikes, and then he can expand the zone. And as an infielder, as a catcher, you're back there sticking a finger down, and he's pumping it in there, and the defense is on their toes. There's no prancing around the mound. Love the way he's getting up on the mound. That kid deserves to continue to keep his spot in the rotation, just because of the fact he pounds the zone. So, yeah, there's pressure on Hernandez without question, and there's some decisions that are going to have to come up here when it comes to the starting rotation.
Well, see, that's the problem with him now, because he's got, what, 20 walks and 29 innings, over 6 walks per 9, that he can't be successful that way. Few pitchers can, but he's not striking anyone out. Can you work those things out, leaving him at the major league level, whether it's in the rotation or down, putting him in the bullpen? He's had success as a reliever before. Or do you have to go to AAA and let him work things out and try to revamp things the way they did with Singer, the way they're doing with Kowar right now?
Yeah, I think you do. It's like, hey, you need to figure some things out. You want to stick up here? Consistency has to be the flavor of the month. We need that from you. We believe in you. We trust in you. But you need to figure it out. And once you do, you'll be right back up here if, and, you know, that is what they say. His build, his strength, his power still promises to be a good future for the young man. But, you know, that's going to be, you know, J.J. and J.J.'s decision as to what they decide to do here coming up. Because I think the way Singer threw, maybe the message was sent and received. Because I was very impressed. It looked like who he should be as a pitcher.
What do you think of Heasley so far?
Like I said, I on the mound, here's the pitch, execute it, add and subtract. To me, I still enjoy the pitchers that are able to, you know, pitch 92 miles an hour, but have a filthy slider, a great changeup, and have the intestinal fortitude, I guess, to throw those pitches behind an account with runners on base and execute it. So all of those things add up to a solid mind, fearless, and attacks the hitter. So I can't argue with anything that he's doing wrong right now, but love the way he gets on the mound and his approach to get batters out.
To wrap things up, you know, we started with the question about Terry Bradshaw. Some Royals fans, or many Royals fans, wondered, okay, well, they made the decision with the hitting. What about Cal Eldred? Why is it the right decision to stick with him? What do you say about that? Because, again, the young pitchers, and Lynch has looked good. Singer has showed promise his last start. But overall, it's been disappointing. What about the decision to stick with Cal Eldred through these struggles early in the season?
Well, if Bradshaw was about relatability and communication with the young hitters, I think it's the other direction with Cal. You don't make a change based on performance necessarily, because to me it boils down to execution. You can go out with the best game plan, the mechanics and everything are great in the bullpen, and then some of these guys get out there and just change things around. Cal hasn't thrown a pitch, and the execution, in my opinion, is on the pitchers and their ability to, you know, locate rather than trying to throw the crap out of it. If you go in there, they're locating pitches and stuff's getting whacked around the yard, well, then, okay, I can see a little bit different scenario. But to me, it's just a matter of these pitchers taking the scouting report and executing the pitches rather than, you know, shooting the mailman in this situation. I don't think that it's particularly Cal's fault. I don't think he's lost any of the pitchers in the communication. I don't think it's from lack of work or effort. But as you know, this organization has said before, you don't make a change just to make a change. There's got to be something in there that you've heard from some of the players or something along those lines, some of the veteran players, and then you make the change. That's been my experience.
Mac, thanks for the time, man. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
Have a good weekend, boys.
That's Mike McFarland on a lot of what's going on with the Royals. We will take a break back after this on WHP. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Nate Ducati, tell people again where you are. All right, he's in the bathroom. Are you serious?
Yeah, he texted us right before the segment started. Yeah, check your phone. Look at that.
What the hell? I mean, honest, what the hell is wrong with him?
He's having a good time.
It's a four-hour radio show. Tell Hartzell to get on the line or somebody. And don't worry about it.
Tell you what, if he's not back by the time Coach comes on, then...
Coach?
Or, sorry, Tim Grenard.
You call him Coach?
Call him Coach.
Because of your Bishop Miege days?
That's right. He was never my coach, but you kind of had to give him that respect when you saw him, I feel like.
I like that, though. That is a sign of respect.
You know, that that presence that someone has.
For sure. Because I didn't know who the hell you were talking about. You said, I'm going to call Coach. He'll be on at 9:05. Who in the hell is going to come on this show coming up next? And you said Tim Grunhard. Here's an interesting note for Royals fans to follow. If you remember, in the 2018 draft, the Royals took a lot of pitchers, right? That's what we've talked about for the last freaking few years, especially the last month or so, is this class of 2018 college pitchers that we've seen have mixed results. Lynch has been good so far. Brady Singer has given us hope. Kowar has been awful, but he's had back-to-back good starts down at AAA. And Chris Bubich looks like he has taken several steps backward, and we'll see what happens with him. But you know, Heasley was a 13th-round pick. You got to include him. He's part of the draft class. So it remains to be seen, right? But this draft will also always be about what happened in the first round when the Royals took Brady Singer number 18. Because the day of the draft, I was on the show, and who knows, maybe I'll be wrong, but it's going to be fun to watch now because it's going to be official. I campaigned for the Royals to draft high school third baseman Nolan Gorman. But I did not think he would be there when the Royals selected at number 18, and he fell to the Royals at 18. And I was freaking out. And I remember tweeting, Nolan Gorman as the Royals were on the clock. We know that the Royals decided to go with Brady Singer. And hopefully it works out for the Royals. But now we finally get to watch Nolan Gorman because he has been called up and will now be starting at second base for the St. Louis Cardinals. He has been incredible as far as the power that he's been putting up at AAA. He has 15 home runs and a .677 slugging percentage in 147 plate appearances, but a 34% strikeout rate and only a 62.4% contact rate. And so it's like all or nothing with Nolan Gorman, but we're going to see now. Singer's back in the rotation. Nolan Gorman has been called up. It's going to be very interesting to watch how this plays out. But either way, it's going to be fun to see this kid and what he does with the St. Louis Cardinals as he is now going to be the starting second baseman, at least for the time being moving forward for the St. Louis Cardinals. And Brady Singer is back in the rotation for the Royals. Hopefully both of them pan out. We'll take a break back after this on WHB.